Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, how to deliver a shot across the bow review. Here we go. Mark, let me ask you a question. What do you do when you have a direct who's failing, who's not performing well, and you got to get that message across? It's review time, but you can't, for organizational reasons, right? You don't want to kill the person. You can't submit it. How do you handle that?
Yeah, it's a good one, right? Because you'd like to think that the review process would allow you to give them a really candid review, but we know better, right? And what you do is you give them a shot across the bow review. We've already done shot across the bow for feedback. And basically, when we talk about shot across the bow for feedback, we say, give them the feedback. And when they push back, walk away. The point is, you're letting them know this is serious. With reviews, it's a little bit different because obviously there's a greater sense of urgency. The fact is, the corporate culture may require reviews to be inflated. And you give them an actual review, they'll get fired. And so we have three points we're going to make. This cast follows right after one we just did about the unofficial review. And so we just want to spend a minute. Point one is talking about the necessity that evaluations are organizational documents, and you've got to recognize that. You can't be as candid as you want to be in reviews. We'd love for you to be able to, but you can't in 99% of the places we've ever been. Number two, for someone who's failing and you want to get their attention, what you do is write, and then you actually deliver as if it is their official review, what we would call a candid evaluation, which we'll call here the shot across the bow evaluation. In other words, you're going to prepare and deliver to them the night before, so they have a chance to read it, a review that is completely candid, which is going to stun them because it's going to be shockingly different than what typical reviews are. It's going to say what they actually did, which is they were terrible. And by the way, folks, we're only going to say that they're terrible if, in fact, sometime in the next year, they're at risk of losing their job. We're not suggesting you do this for somebody who's a mid-level performer. This is only in the case of somebody who literally is failing. And then last step is after you've shared and delivered verbally the candid evaluation, then you pull out the already written evaluation that you're going to submit to the organization, which of course is watered down or less candid, inflated, or perhaps overinflated, depending upon the word you want to choose. And you let them know, this is the review that I'm going to file, but you should know the other review is the one you earned. And you've got a year. And I want to help you. And we could file this review that I'm not going to put in the system if you're not willing to change. But let's see what we can do to make things better. That's what you do.
Let's talk a little bit about the point that evaluations are organizational documents. We talked about this in previous casts, but we need to talk about it here as well. Because if you miss that point, the whole point of the shot across review is missed.
Yeah. And look, guys, evaluations are too important and complex enough and worthy of enough hard work and detail work and so on that every time we talk about them, we can't take the time to go back over every single point we've made. So 7+ years ago, this is in early 2006, as I recall, we put out a series of 4 casts on how to prepare and then write and then deliver an annual evaluation. Part of the reason we're talking about this now, for those of you who are listening contemporaneously, this is the middle of the year 2012. The reason we're putting this out now is because I've always regretted that we put out our guidance for evaluations, how to write and prepare and so on, in January of 2006. And I felt like we were 3 months late. We could have gotten ahead of the curve, but we were just trying to get through so many casts. And of course, we'll never catch up. So that's the reason we're doing it. But folks, in order to really understand the level of detail and how a professional prepares a review, you've got to go back and listen to those early casts. If you haven't, some of the stuff we're going to say is going to be a little bit hard to understand. This is also the second cast in a row where we've talked about reviews. Just last week, we talked about how to deliver an unofficial performance review, but not one on somebody who is doing so poorly we're contemplating terminating them. Contemplating terminating somebody is what might cause you to write the shot across the bow review. So the important thing to recognize about evaluations, folks. And for those of you who were here last week, you're going to hear this again, but it's worth repeating over and over again. Evaluations in your organization are written for the organization. They're not written for the direct. In the early days of evaluations, and by the way, for those of you who don't know, big companies learned how to do evaluations from the world's military, and the military have to do evaluations because succession planning is much more abrupt and risky in the military. And big companies did that in order to provide the organization with information to help senior people with succession planning. Whether your company uses the data or not is really a question for you to answer. If you made me bet, I'd say it probably isn't, unless you're one of the top 50 or 100 companies in the world. But that said, the review used to be separate from, or at least distinct from, the manager's responsibility to give daily, weekly, monthly feedback. Over the years, managers who have shied away from giving feedback and have imbued the annual review, the performance evaluation, with the idea that that was the direct's feedback, which is fundamentally wrong and bad and evil. And then we blame the review system, which the review system was never intended to provide candid feedback to directs, because feedback delayed by 6 or 9 months isn't feedback. It's just a pain point. So it's part of the performance development process in an organization, but it's completely separate from managers' responsibilities to give their people feedback. And the idea that we don't get any feedback during the year because you're getting a review is just about one of the dumbest cause and effect statements ever uttered by man. So the evaluation form is not for you and your direct. It's for the organization. That's part of the reason why, actually a big part of the reason why, evaluations historically are overinflated and generally not as candid as they could be. So don't decry your system too much. And I promise you, whatever system you go to, there'll be problems with that one too. The system is not the problem. Managerial behavior is the problem.
Yeah. And just to be clear, the fact that what you said is true and that reviews are overinflated. The problem here, of course, if you want to give somebody candid feedback and you choose the review to give them that candid feedback, you're going to kill them.
Yeah, exactly.
And as a caring manager, you may a year from now, but you don't want to right now. And so what do you do?
I would say if you do that, you are the one making the error. The system is not making an error. You're making an error by believing that the evaluation system is designed for you to give candid feedback to your directs. It's not. It's designed to tell the organization how your direct is doing. And the fact is, if you look at 1,000 managers or 100 managers in your company, the tone and tenor of those evaluations is by definition what the organization needs. It may not be ideal, but there are very few systems in anybody's organization that are ideal. So don't imbue the review process with the idea that this is your chance to give performance feedback to your directs. If you haven't done it up until this point, you don't have a whole lot of credibility no matter what you do. And this entire cast is based on you having been a manager tools manager in the sense of developing a relationship through one-on-ones, giving performance feedback, positive and negative feedback, and coaching someone. Clearly, you have to be coaching someone who's performing so poorly, you're thinking that within a year or even less, you could terminate them. It's a terrible thing to do, but it may be your responsibility to terminate someone.
Okay, so on that, then let's talk about what you do. You're not ready to kill them now. You want to give them a year or, you know, something short of a year. So you can't give them candid feedback in their review. So what do you do to get their attention?
Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit out of order, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to write and what you're going to deliver first. And then I'm going to talk later in step three about the preparation. What we're going to recommend you do is write and then deliver, as if it were the actual review, a candid, not inflated, not overinflated evaluation of your direct. Okay. Now, for those of you who listened recently to the unofficial review, there's enormous difference between an unofficial review and a shot across the bow review. Okay. When the direct gets an unofficial review, they generally get that you're both providing them some protection from the organization, right? Because they get a review that they say, okay, that's the review the company's going to see and I'm okay. And then they also get that you're trying to help them by giving them candid guidance verbally. And they know that's not obviously being written down. For those of you who didn't listen last week, what we do is we say we write a review that the organization can tolerate that doesn't screw the direct. And then you figuratively turn the paper over and say, as Mike's boss said to his once, and as my boss said to me once, okay, that's a review. Now let me tell you what I really think. The point being, you can deliver what may be a harsh message verbally without giving someone the kiss of death. That's the unofficial review. And they get the benefit of the standard review, the official review, being generally positive, maybe entirely positive, as Mike's was. Mine was not. And the fact that you're getting told, you better change or you're going to tick me off. There's nothing wrong with that. This is a standard executive managerial behavior. And by the way, if your direct is going to change with the unofficial review, the undocumented nature of the candid verbal feedback is often a motivator for them. And look, by the way, if they're not going to change, you're still well armed for that. If they don't change, then you've got lots of history with them in terms of one-on-ones and feedback and coaching and so on. And the other point I want to make is with the manager school's recommendation about unofficial evaluation, which is our last cast, they only get one actual written review. And then it's followed, of course, with that verbal discussion. And they will have read the official review, which is generally positive, as most are, or not distinctly negative. They'll have read that the night before, if you follow our guidance about how to prepare and write and deliver a review. But things with the shot across the bow review, folks, are much more serious. This is for the case when you're nearly certain that a failure to improve in the performance of one of your directs will mean termination within a year. Now, I don't have any problem with if Mike's my boss. There's nothing wrong managerially with Mike saying, if Mark doesn't change in a year, I'm going to have to terminate him, and I'm going to work hard with him for 3, 6, 9 months. Maybe I'll terminate him in 6 months. Maybe I'll terminate him in 9 months if, in fact, he improves for 3 months but then plateaus at 6 months and doesn't change and he doesn't reach my minimums. Okay, but many of you have managed people whom you knew, if they don't improve within a year, I'm going to have to do something. And then the next year you say, gee, if they don't improve, and then you say a year later, you say, if they don't improve within a year, I'm going to have to do something. And you're part of the reason why the organization is struggling. With a shot across the bow review, you got to be nearly certain that this person is really in trouble.
Right. So this is just not the casual guy has something to work on.
No.
This is serious.
Yeah. And heck, all of us have something to work on.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's why I mentioned it.
So let's be clear about what happens. We recommend you write the review in complete candor. You write it and you deliver it as if it is the actual review that you're giving to the direct that they believe is going into the system. And you give it to them the night before to let them get shocked and to sleep on it, and perhaps hopefully to develop questions and maybe develop a counterproposal or something. You're going to act as if, which is a function that's the definition of the word believe, we want them to believe this is their review. Now, the only way they're going to believe that's their review is if you write it so well that it's accurate. In other words, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm not going to write the review that the system requires, which by definition, really, most reviews are inaccurate because they're inflated or they avoid candor when someone has weaknesses. But this one, it takes away all those niceties and it says, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's brutally accurate. And we don't mean mean-spirited. We simply mean that if you say someone's a 2 on a 5 scale, you have reasons why they're a 2 on a 5 scale. You have data. You have facts. You have support. Now, look, let's mention a word of caution here. We recommend at the same time that you're delivering this, and they're going to have it the night before. That's part of our process. You always want people to have the review the night before because you don't want people losing their mind in front of you and then having a wasted hour. And they may need to calm down. Nothing wrong with that. Better for them to calm down when you're not around. But we recommend that you have the official review, the one that you're going to submit, the inflated one, the softer one, the kinder one, the more fluffy one. We recommend you have that one already written up and up to all the standards that HR requires for submitting it before you share your shot across the bow version with them. So yes, we're suggesting in egregious cases where you've been working with somebody and they continue to not improve their performance and you're worried about their ability to maintain their job, that you're going to write two reviews. Now, you don't have to write both of them with the same level of concern. I would say that on the shot across the bow one, you don't need every single I dotted and T's crossed, as long as every single thing you say in it is accurate.
Right.
The reason why you've got to have the second one written, the official one, the backup one that you're going to give them actually after they've gotten over the shock of the candid one, is because if you give them the shot across the bow version and they panic and they call 10 friends
and they run out of the office.
Yeah. And they call HR and they call some executive buddy. And suddenly you guys know how this happens. All of a sudden, everybody starts getting emails 10 o'clock at night. Everybody's BlackBerries are going crazy. What am I missing? What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And come to find out, this guy has some friends you didn't know about. And everybody's saying, what are you doing over there, Horseman? Why is this guy's pretty good? I like him. Why are you getting in there? Right. And that way, when HR says, this guy's freaking out, you're the only guy in this firm who gives people's reviews the night before. I got to tell you, I think that's just really dumb. We don't need people freaking out at 9 o'clock the night before. You ought to have them freak out only in the meeting with you, which is literally one of the dumbest things ever said. But anyway, what you would say is, look, I want to be clear with you guys. I'm happy to talk to you about this. I have been talking, let's call this guy Joe. I have been talking with Joe for 9 months about his performance. You're welcome to look at the documented failures in performance along the way. I'm going to also send you, or I will share with you at a high level, that that is not the review that he is going to get, but you're not at liberty to tell him that. He needs to learn that there are organizational consequences. Up till now, he's been working with me, and I've been trying to help him improve, and he's not been helping me. But he needs to learn there are going to be organizational consequences for continued failure to improve. And this is one way that the organization would mete out consequences, is he would get a bad review. I have already written his other review. It is more tolerable. It's not flattering, but it's not as unflattering as the shot across the bow review. You don't want to not have that written and then have HR saying, we got somebody really upset. You should be doing it. Because I don't know why, but HR always takes I used to say that HR took the side of the direct. That's not true. HR takes the side of the person who complains first. You don't want to go and say, well, I didn't really mean it. That's not really his review. And then HR goes, well, where is his review? Aren't you meeting with him tomorrow? Well, I was going to write it after I was done. Oh, I don't know that that's ethical or professional. Well, it completely is, but I would have both of them written before you hand him or her, before you hand Joe his shot across the bow review, simply for political defense purposes.
I think there's another point, though, is if you're going to write the shot across the bow review and you're going to share that with the individual, the things you talk about in there, you can't make them up and they can't be undocumented. You have to have the data to support what you're saying there. You have to treat it with the same level of care as you would a review that you would actually submit and file.
Yeah, I said it probably not as well as I could have a few minutes ago. I don't want you to have to go through the process of writing, researching and then developing and then writing two reviews, because what you're going to do is research and develop their background, and then you're going to write a candid review and a tolerable review. But you're right. We don't recommend doing a shot across the bow unless you do, in fact, have all the data that supports a shot across the bow effort on your part in order to scare them straight, if you will. Now, look, if you have that level of stuff and you just gave a standard vague review to somebody where there would seem to be no consequences and you would basically be really misleading the organization as opposed to adopting the tone of the organization for somebody who was doing fine, then we really have to wonder why we're working so hard throughout the year. And I would argue that a lot of managers should go, well, shot across the bow is a great technique if I haven't done the hard work throughout the year. Folks, if that's you, don't tell anybody you learned it from us and don't call it shot across the bow, because that's not what a shot across the bow is. A shot across the bow is I've done my work. I have my data. I can write either one based on my data. The data can be very harsh or I can mitigate that and communicate up to the organization, something that the organization can hear. But between you and me, I'm going to give you my data, which says you're in trouble, mister. And look, why bother doing the hard work day to day, week to week, month to month, quarter to quarter of a manager if your direct isn't going to change? And then you aren't willing to consider, if you're trying to get them to improve and they're not improving, and you're not willing to consider this gambit a more forceful, it's definitely more forceful than, I'm sure some people are listening going, wow, this is really tough. Yeah, it's tough. It's better than firing somebody, and it's still professional. What it is taking the pile, a pile of all of their negative feedback and giving it to them all at once in review or evaluation language. That's what a shot across the bow review is. It's a chance for you to gather all your data over the course of the year and to realize, wow, this is incredibly damning. The system can't tolerate it, but the direct needs to hear it.
Just to be clear, though, I mean, you have to do your hard work through the course of the year, right? You just can't.
Yeah.
Right. You got to be a manager tools manager through the course of the year if you're going to use this technique.
Yeah. Don't cheat, guys. If you haven't done the hard work throughout the year, don't try to use this technique. And somebody's listening, probably saying, well, that stinks because I haven't done that. Okay, fine. Sorry. Turn us off right now. Right. It's free. You don't have to listen. Go listen to some good music or something, or find a better podcast. I don't care, but.
Right. But if you skip all the stuff you're supposed to do as an effective manager, and then you use this technique, don't blame us. It's not the problem with the shot across the bow. It's the problem with the actions you've taken or not taken through the course of the year.
Yeah. Now, to finish your point about having all the data, you then need to follow the system. In order to be persuasive, the shot across the bow version that you're going to deliver must follow, assuming your direct knows that this is your natural style, our guidance regarding the SEER and SUMX techniques for writing reviews. And folks, if you don't know what those are, you got to listen to our cast. SEER stands for summary, elaboration, example, repeat. And SUMX stands for summary and then example, which are different ways. One is longer. The SEER technique is longer. SUMX is shorter for writing about something someone did that supports your assertion about how good or how bad they are. You've also got to look at data. You've got to look at critical incidents and you got to look at behaviors. Again, if you don't know what those are, that's the previous cast from years ago about how to do reviews. And the beauty of that is if you do that, writing it in the format of a standard review, but with all candor, all limits on candor set aside, writing about a failure of somebody in the SEER technique or the SUMX technique comes across totally professional. It doesn't come across rude. It doesn't come across with any malice at all. It just comes across professionally and honestly. It's very hard as an executive to read a shot across the bow review and not say, wow, this manager dotted her I's and crossed her T's. It's not just, I don't like this guy, and so therefore he gets a 1 on a 5 scale. It's he did X and the customer did Y because of what he did. You know, that's serious. Whereas by the same token, if one of my representatives did X and the customer made the largest purchase in the history of the company, that's a great thing. You would put that in somebody's review. By the same token, if one of my representatives, my sales representatives, tried an off-color joke and the customer canceled their account, that's also a write-up on a review. On a normal review, it probably wouldn't go on there. On a shot across the bow review, it absolutely would be on there.
What about numbers, right? There's, you know, let's say there's a scale, very common, 1 to 5 scale, right? And 3 is good, fine, kind of, you're doing well, you're doing okay. 4s are tough to get, they're for high performers, and 5s are exceedingly rare. And there's some political rules around what numbers use. And generally, you don't use something less than a 3. Do those rules apply here? I assume not, but you tell
me. No, yeah, they don't apply. Every time I hear this story, I'm reminded of how embarrassed I was when my mother used to tell the story that me and my 3 brothers all went to school together, or went to school, you know, a couple of years apart from one another. And she said all 4 of us went to first grade, and a week or so into first grade, all of us came back from that first grade class and said the same story. Hey, we picked reading groups today. Oh, what are the groups? Oh, the Robins and the Blue Jays and the Eagles. And my mom would say, which group are you in? And we all said the same thing. The top group. which I assume were eagles, right? The raptor birds.
Yeah, things that eat others, yeah.
I thought she was being complimentary, but that's not my mom. She was actually being derogatory by suggesting we were so interested in being on top that we couldn't even tell what bird we were named after. And so I know that this is hard for people to hear when I talk about ones and twos and threes and fours and fives, but it's really simple. You probably know what the political rules are about the threes and fours and fives. But if threes are okay for many people, doesn't mean they're a superstar, then you've got to have, on the shot across the bow, you've got to have twos and potentially even ones on it. Now, it may be that they have a four and a three in several areas, but in one area, respect for individuals, they get a two or a one, or customer sensitivity, they get a one because of some gigantic mistake they made that cost us $1 million. All it takes is one in a particular area of importance for it to be the kiss of death to some people.
Yeah. I just want to iterate the point you just said. The idea, folks, is not to rate them a one or a two in every single area, including the ones that they're good in. We want an honest, candid review, and it's honest and candid about the bad things, but it's also candid and honest about the good things or great things they're doing.
Yeah, there aren't that many people who are ones or twos across the board. And it's really hard to sell ones or twos across the board if you did last year's review and you gave them threes and fours. In other words, my point is you don't have to sell that to the organization because the organization is not going to see the shot across the bow review. But the direct knows that last year you gave her threes and fours to then all of a sudden go to ones and twos when she knows she only made two big mistakes. No. She's going to say, okay, this is a witch hunt and you're out to get me.
That's right.
So you pick your battles. Well, no, that's not right. You base your evaluation based on what your data suggest. Okay. If there are statements required about meeting standards, you have to be willing to say that the particular rec failed to meet standards, if in fact they didn't meet their standards. And in some places, it might even require you saying consistently failed to meet standards. And again, that depends on the data, which you have to have if you're going to do a shot across the bow review. Now, look, if your direct has a good attitude about trying to improve, whether they've improved or not, we encourage you to cite their attitude specifically. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, mind you, we're talking about in the shot across the bow review. If they believe they have a good attitude and they're really struggling, seeing that you recognize their attitude, and I'll come back to what I mean by attitude in just a second, is really going to help them feel that this is a candid review rather than a lynch mob review. Okay, if they were threes and fours last year and suddenly they're ones and twos and everything, and they've really been trying hard, and you've been complimenting them on trying hard and just saying we haven't figured out the magic nut that we have to twist in order to get you where we need to be, and all of a sudden they're ones and twos and everything, they're going to believe that you went from a supporter to a detractor overnight. And now you're part of the problem and you're not going to be very effective coaching them on improving their performance. Now, let me say this about attitude. Remember, when we document attitude on a review, we document attitude by describing behaviors from which one could reasonably infer an attitude. They smile a lot, or they say, I really want to do better. Just saying he has a great attitude and leaving it at that is probably not enough for that person who has a great attitude. And the fact is, I would go over it with fine-tooth comb. And look, if I were one of your peers, I would say, send it to me, dude. Let me look at it. Let me look for any word that's a little too harsh, a little too much. We're not afraid of being harsh. We want to catch their attention, but a shot across the bow review is going to bear special scrutiny from the direct, and you don't want to write it and then immediately give it to your direct. You just don't. If for no other reason, then you have to write another one, the one that you're going to actually turn in, even though they don't know that. And look, the meeting is going to be contentious with your direct. Be ready. Have your data ready. That's also in our previous casts. Okay. Stay frosty. There are detailed instructions for how to stay frosty in our core evaluation guidance. And guys, look, we know we're not saying this is easy. We're not saying we want you to be here, but this is manager tools. We're going to tell you what to do even in places you don't want to be. whether it was your fault that you got them here by not helping them sooner, or whether it was some other manager, or whether they got sent to you and were told, they're a problem child, fix them. Okay? It may not be easy, but it is effective. We know it's effective. I've used it. And it may be necessary. The manager who hasn't been able to help a direct improve, who doesn't use this technique simply because the review system isn't really meant for this kind of thing, isn't doing his or her job. Now, I don't need you to do it if you've got another way. We want you to be effective helping your people. You're losing somebody and replacing them and reteaching somebody new, that's expensive. It's dumb. Okay? We want to retain people, if at all possible, if they're worthy of retention. And the vast majority of people are. But you can't simply say, no, I'm not going to do this because it's going to be hard on somebody. Because if you've been working them for 6 or 9 months and they haven't changed, you know, it's time to consider a change of behavior.
There you go. Then we come to the, I don't know, the good part, the part that might relieve some managers or certainly might be a relief to the individual getting the review. We're going to go through the review just as if we were giving the review, and then we're going to kind of yank it back a little bit, and then we're going to show them the evaluation that you're actually going to submit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say yank it back. I think I know what you mean, dude, but basically what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, that's the review. Now, pause. Here's another review. You get to keep the one I already gave you, and we just went over. I wanted to go over it in detail the way I would with any review. I'm not going to be submitting the review we just talked about. I will be submitting this review. Take a minute and read it. And I guess this is the one time, Mike, where we would not recommend giving them their actual review the night before.
That's right.
It never occurred to me until just now that that's in fact what we're doing. We are giving them a review the night before. It's just not the one we're
submitting. Not the one we're submitting, right?
Yeah. So what you do, once you've discussed the shot across the bow version, you hand your direct the actual review and explain to them, I know if I delivered the candid review, and folks, by the way, I made this mistake. Don't call the one you gave them first, the shot across the bow one, the candid one. Don't call it the truthful review, because then when they go to HR, they'll say, he said this one was truthful, which means this other one, the one he submitted, is not truthful. I spent 15 minutes discussing how dumb an argument that was. But anyway, and I won, but it was a pain, and I won't do that, won't make that mistake again. Okay. So explain to people, explain to your direct, I know that if I delivered this candid review, it would be the kiss of death for you. And I don't want that. And I don't believe your situation is untenable. But 6 months from now or 9 months from now, if nothing changes, it will be untenable. And the only thing I want to do more than keep you is be an effective manager. And I can't keep someone who doesn't perform. And if you don't perform, I have to do my job and ask you to leave. So you tell them the second evaluation that I've just given you is the one I'm going to submit. I'm submitting it because it's the one the organization can tolerate short of you being in serious trouble. If you want to explain to them about why reviews are done the way they are, the way we did at the start of this cast, you're welcome to do so. I don't think they'll be ready to hear it at that point. And then what you say is, this is the review we're giving to the company, but you and I are going to be moving forward as if the candid shot across the bow version was the one in the system, because that's the only way we're going to be motivated to make these kind of changes. Maybe you could add something along the lines of, I believe in you, because I promise you, if I didn't believe in you, you wouldn't work here, okay? If I didn't believe in you, I'd have submitted the candid review, and I would have dealt with the pain I would have been, the organization would have visited on me for something so different from what it expected. But that is an accurate review. It's just not one the company can tolerate.
Yeah, and we don't have forever.
It's my job to help you improve. I wanted to get your attention, and I'll do my best. And I'm also responsible enough that if you don't improve, I'll have to help you leave. Now, look, there are rare directs who, having been through the night you're going to give them the night before, and then going over that, and then pulling the rug out from under them, and I hate to say that, but some of you are thinking that in your heads right now, and giving them the review that you're going to file, which is much more palatable. Most directs, many directs, there are a few that might not be, but most people will be emotionally drained. I'd love to tell you, go ahead and start planning the coaching and improvement process. If you've got somebody who can do that, good for you, good for them, start it. Okay. Let's wash this taste out of our mouth of, wow, last year was a rough year. Okay. But if you have to delay that conversation, say, think about it a little bit and let's come back. I'm on your side. I want to help you. Hopefully I've got your attention. It's okay to delay. If you've been working with a direct for months and you're not getting the necessary improvement, some bit of shock is an unfortunate but reasonable outcome of a review process. And that's why we recommend shot across the bow.
Yeah. And recognize, folks, if you get to this point and you have to do the shot across the bow review, you failed once, right?
Yeah.
And if you haven't failed, if you haven't tried to go through the steps we've talked about on other casts relative to helping somebody improve their performance, if you haven't done that and you do the shot across the bow review, well, then you've more than failed. You've really.
Yeah.
It's unethical, frankly.
Yeah, it is. And guys, remember what I just said on the cast. I know some of you are like, wow, what would Mark do? What would Mike do in this situation? Remember, I've used this, which means I presided over someone who spent 9 months not improving. I've been there. I failed as a manager. I can tell you stories. I think I already have. But let's not compound them. That's the bottom line. It's a hard thing to do. And sometimes, or oftentimes, the right thing to do is easy to figure out. It's the hard thing to do. And that's it.
That's it. You hate to have to do something like this.
Yeah.
But if you have to do it, you're obligated to do it as a manager. And
yeah.
I've seen this work and turn around people. And what's the option? The other alternative is just to let the person go. This is one more time, one more chance to turn the person around. So thanks, my friend.
Yep. You bet, partner.
We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.